Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
If you're not, I hope I can help you get there. Amen. Missions is awesome, and I thank God for it. I was sitting there thinking, and you know, that's always dangerous for me, as he was singing about what he believed. And you know, sometimes people miss this really good stuff in the Bible, and this has nothing to do with the sermon. This is free. In John chapter 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And we have so much trouble in the world, but then many people forget what he says right after that. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. You got a troubled heart, what you believe is going to help you get over the troubled heart. That's why the world's so troubled. They don't believe anything. I believe a lot of stuff, amen? And so I'm very thankful for that. And that's free. That didn't have anything to do with the sermon tonight. If you can tonight, I would like for you to turn to Matthew. And just, if you're able, stand with me. If not, just follow along as I read. We're going to pray and ask God to bless. Y'all know, and I hope you understand this, nobody can do anything. What's that? It's not on? Now, they promised me I didn't have to do nothing. Is it on now?
Is it on now?
Yes.
You owe me one.
Yes.
All right, you owe me one. You promised. I hate working on these things. Mine went out last time I was preaching somewhere. We had a congregation of about 1,000 people, and I'm up there just preaching away, and nobody hear a word, and they're going, well, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Okay, I'm sorry, you're standing. I need to read. Matthew 25, verse 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." Now, this is a parable. Parables are an earthly story illustrating a heavenly truth. And so the person that's going into a far country is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I'd just get you in on the parable right away. He said, "Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's," what's that next money word?
Money.
So what's this parable about? Money. That's what missions is about too, some of it. It's money. Most people think this is talking about how well I sing. I have no talent. This is how well I do other stuff. I have none of that. So God said, he uses the word money, and he's going to use it again here in a minute. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him," here's what every believer wants to hear. Amen. I sure do. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." Verse 23 and verse 21 are exactly alike. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid." Now, if I had to categorize most Christians, that's what I'd say. They're afraid. I don't know what they're afraid about, but they're just fearful. And you know, God's never the author of fear. He said, "I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money. That's twice. Once is enough, but twice is really nails it down. To the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent, the money from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this great passage of Scripture. I pray that you'd enable me to preach what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that you'd help these folks to receive it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And they'd not just hear it, but they'd be hearers that would apply it to their own lives and to their own world, so they can make a difference in this world, in souls and in the work around the world. I pray you'd bless everything that's said and done here tonight. Thank you for these wonderful missionaries that are here. I really enjoy meeting them. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them in a magnificent way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, God said to these men as he left, I'm going to give you my money. Come on. Well, I thought he was talking about singing. Now, you can apply this to singing, and you can apply it to playing the piano, and you can apply it for all other kinds of talents that other people have that I don't have. See, it just irritates me crazy. I used to hate him for this. He'd get to the end of his sermon. He may not do this anymore, but he'd get to the end of his sermon and he'd sing the invitation. I hate that. And my son does it too. It makes me so irritated. If I sing, y'all are all going to leave. So, any of you know who Lester Olof is? Me and Lester sing about the same. Didn't you just love his singing? I loved what he was doing, but his singing was not too good. But this Bible here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ left and gave some talents, and according to their several ability. And he was simply put, he's not going to give everybody the same thing. And it's not necessary to have the same thing. You see, God told us that anybody that compares themselves with themselves is not wise. So what God does for you and what God does for me has nothing to do with each other. It is not the same thing. And so the Bible says he gave these parable about giving 5 talents to one guy, and he gave 2 talents to one guy, and he gave 1 talent to the other guy. And I want you to know they all had the same opportunity, just like you and I have. We all have the same opportunity. Now, I understand that some people have a lot of money. I don't know any of them, but I've been told that. Some people don't have as much money, and some don't have any money. And none of that matters, because that's not what this is about. It's about what God has given you and been faithful with what God has given you. And so they have the same instructions as we do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Occupy till I come. Get the work done till Jesus comes. That's the instructions that he's given to all of us. And each had a talent to do the work with. Now the 5-talent man worked in verse number 16. And the Bible says he worked and he received 5 other talents. In other words, he doubled his money investing in what God told him to invest in, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. He doubled his ability to do what God told him to do. How many of you believe the Bible? You know, the Bible says if you'll do what I tell you, I'll bless you and I'll encourage you and I'll give you what you have need of. I believe with all of my heart that God has blessed me beyond measure. Now, I know people get mad at me when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm God's favorite. And I'm sorry if that makes you mad. You say, you can't say that. Well, John did. 3 times in the book of John, John said, I'm the one Jesus loved the best. Peter believed it. And you know, Peter and John had such a great relationship. They were just like all other men. You know, the Bible says they ran to the tomb. But John said, I outran him. That's a man thing, y'all. I outrun him. And then he said, but Peter, he was so bold, he just ran right in there. And I stood on the outside. And then John said, I believed a miracle Peter didn't believe. Come on, this is what you and I would do. He's just making it real. And the Bible says that he's going to give us talents and he's going to allow us to do some work for the Lord. And he gives everybody an opportunity. Everybody has an opportunity. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said they gave and they were poor. And let me tell you something. When you talk about somebody being poor, you want to see some poor people. Go to South America. They'll show you some poor people. I'm talking about people that don't even have running water in their house. And they have a family of 10 living in a 6x8 room. And that's all they have. And their stove is a fire in the middle of the house. Their running water is a well outside in the middle of the community. And that let me tell you something. Americans don't have any idea what poor is. Now I know, say, well, we got homeless people here. Now I can't speak to most homeless people, but I was watching 2020 one time with my wife, and they were doing a special on hobos. Y'all know what a hobo is? Guy lives under the bridge. They stuck the microphone in this guy's face, and I told my wife, I said, that's my Uncle Lester. And they stuck the face, and he said what his name was. I said, I knew that was him. And they asked him, why are you living under this train track? He said, because I don't want to work. I said, that's my uncle. Laziest bum ever drew breath. And he lived there. Now listen, God gives us opportunities to do things for the Lord, and it's up to us to do it. And we sometimes zero in on what and how much, we forget what God said. So he said, when he returns, you're going to give an account for what you've done. And so here comes the master, and they're going to report to him. Don't you like to be reported to? I love missionaries that come and report. By the way, let me say this to you. By faith, you help this young missionary go to Brazil. To see your faith become sight, you watched what we saw last night from Brazil. All these years ago, you trusted him that he was going to do what God told you to do, and you invested all that money, and bingo, here's a church, and here's people, and your faith becomes sight, and you say, why would God do that? So you'd have more faith. So you can say, hey, he did it for the last 35 years or 40 or however long it's been. We'll have faith that he can too. Then one of these days, he'll come back and show you these pictures, and bingo, faith becomes sight again. And we get to do more. It's exciting to see how God operates. But the Bible says this. The man that got 5 talents, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy. Aren't you excited about God saying that to me and to you? That is one of the most exciting things ever. First time I ever heard this preached, I thought to myself, Lord, I don't have a clue how to make that happen, but I want that to happen. Hello. Most people in the church don't have a clue how to make that happen. But I'm about to tell you tonight how to make sure that God will say that to you. Amen. And then I want you to notice it's not about how much. Notice what he said in verse 23. This is what he said to the guy that had 2 talents and gained 2 more. Now the guy that had 10 and the guy that had 2, the guy that had 10 had 6 more than the guy that had 4, but he said the exact same thing to him. And he did that so you and I'd understand it's not about how much, it's about our ability to do with what God has given us. He's given us a certain amount. I believed all my life since I've got saved and been pastoring, it's not about how much you give, it's about how much you have left. Let that sink in for just a moment. I went to Houston one time, was preaching a missions conference some years back, and this preacher took us out with one of his men and the man's wife and preacher's wife, me and my wife. We went out to this really swanky restaurant. I like it when preachers do that. I really like it when church members do that. I mean, we went to a place where when you open the menu, there's no prices. Some of you will know what that means. And the only way I'd ever go on is if somebody takes me, because I don't have the ability to do that. And so he took us to this really nice place, and the preacher sitting there talking to us, and we're getting acquainted with this man, the guy got up to go to the bathroom, and he said, missionary, I just want you to know, this guy gives $500 a week to missions. I was impressed. And then I thought, okay, he gives $500. I said, how much does he tithe? And he says he tithes $5,000 a week. Now, I've done a lot of math in my day, but that means he makes $50,000 a week. Any of y'all believe to live on that? I don't think $500 would even, you'd even miss it. Would you? And I'm not belittling what he gave. I'm just saying God's interested in how sacrificially you give and how much you have left over. So he said to the man that had 5 talents, well done. He said to the man that had 2 talents, well done. And I believe with all my heart, if the 1 talent guy had got 1 more, he'd have said the exact same thing to him. Because it's not about how much. It's about God giving you and you're using it and giving it for what God wants you to give it for. Amen. Now, how do you make sure that you get well done, thou good and faithful servant? I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now hold on. You're going to like this. I hope. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 13 just because I like it, but it's not really where I'm going. Verse 13 is just awesome and you need to hear it. Amen. All right, are y'all out there this night? Y'all have a tough day? Did you get rained on? I've had a bunch of comments about my yellow car out there. And I just brought that out over here so the preacher's kids could play with it. And they did yesterday. It was smoking when I got it back last night. But, you know, a strange thing happened to me on February 17th. I retired and I don't get a paycheck anymore. Some of y'all are going to figure out what that means one day. So what are you doing, preacher? Well, I go to the auction, buy cars, and sell them. But if I'm going to buy them and sell them, I get to play with them a little while. Yeah. While you clean them up and fix the problems, and then you sell them. By the way, I got a 93 40th anniversary edition Corvette. If anybody's interested, it's for sale. I just finished getting it ready. Going to put it online next week. I don't know where that came from. That has nothing to do with it. But anyway, you got to be faithful with what God says. Now look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Now that has nothing to do with the message. It's just cool. Come on, isn't that cool? Amen. I can do. Now see, Nike's not the first one to come up with that stuff. God came up with it first. He said, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. Now look at verse 14, and here's going to tell you what to do here. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you communicated with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So here's what he's saying. Church, you have well done because you gave money to a missionary. Hello? Is that what it says? I want you to understand, if you want to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, you got to get your wallet out and give it to a missionary. Hey, I'm not making this up. I'm just reading it to you. And you know, God doesn't just want you to know what to do. He wants you to know how to do it. I thank God for that. Because I'm telling you, I'm just not smart enough to figure it out myself. Don't look at me that. You're not either. I need God to tell me how to do what He tells me to do. So I want you to turn over to 3 John, and He's going to tell us exactly how to do this. How do I give to missionaries where I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful, and I'm going to reward you with the joy of the Lord. That's what I want in my life. And so I want to know how to do this. Now I want to establish here, before we get to 3 John, I want to establish here, understand, the talents he's talking about in this passage of Scripture, well done, is giving to missionaries. Well done. You want to guarantee you hear that when you get to heaven? Then open up your wallet and give to the missionaries. Hello? You know, God's so awesome. Not only do you get to hear well done, but He's going to give you rewards for what they do. I always have loved that. I've always loved somebody else to do the work and I get the credit. I've always liked that, haven't you? That's the way it works at the missions office. My wife does all the work. I travel around the country and I get all the credit. That is absolutely magnificent. I love it. And she just follows around, smiles and said, yeah, he's doing it. But in reality, she's doing it. Come on, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just like a preacher. I pastored a church for 34 and a half years over here in Louisville. All my people and all my staff did all the work. I stood up on Sunday morning and got all the credit. Say, woo, this is great. God said, I want you to understand, this is how you do it. Now, 3 John, verse 1. You there? It says this. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Whew. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. That is so awesome. And he said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Well done. If you help the servants that are going to preach the gospel, if you'll help them send them on their way, well done. Again, he tells us that. But in this passage of Scripture, he's going to give us an understanding exactly how to do that. And what a joy it is to understand God is going to tell us how to do it. Look at verse 5. He said, first of all, I want you to notice this. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. You have to be faithful in doing it. This is not a hit and miss thing. You have to be faithful in what God has called you and told you to do. You can't do it as long. I can't believe how many times I've heard people in my office say, well, preacher, you know, we give to God what's left over. That is not what God said. God said, I want the first fruits. You give it to me first, and I'll take care of you. Now, let me tell you, the attitude of people who give it at the end is this. I'm going to take care of it, Lord, and if I have anything left, I'll give it to you. Those who give it to Him first says, I'm going to give it to God and let God handle it. Who do you think is going to do a better job? You or the Lord? Hey, there's no question. God's going to do a much better job than me. I'll never forget. And by the way, I'm going to say this again before the week's over. You can't give to Faith Promise Missions if you don't tithe. Hello. You can't take your missions or your tithe money and give it to missions. That's not Faith Promise Missions. Now, I remember when I first got saved, as I told you last night, I knew nothing, never been to church, had no experience in anything. And I hadn't been saved but about 3 weeks. And the preacher knocked on my door. I didn't know preachers went to people's house. I thought you had to go see them. He came to my house, and he knocked on the door, and I said, wow, preacher, it's so cool. Come in, what's up? He said, I got to tell you something. I said, well, that's cool. He loved me enough to come and tell me something. And he said, so my wife got him something to drink, and we sat down in the living room, and he said, I'm going to teach you something tonight. I want to teach you about tithing. I said, okay, what is that? And he said, well, tithing is where you take 10% of everything you get and give it to God. I started laughing. I thought the man was joking. There ain't nobody going to do that. He said, yeah, everybody in our church does that. Even the little kids. I said, I do not do that. I said, nobody could do that. I said, if I did that, I'd be broke the first week. I'd be out begging money before I even got through the first Sunday. And then he lied to me. Preachers will lie to you if you're not careful. He said to me, he said, I'm going to challenge you. You tithe for 1 month. And if you want your money back, I'll give it back to you. Now, that was the lie. I'm going to tell you right now, you put that money in the offering plate, you are not getting it back. I didn't know that at the time. I trusted him. I figured he'd give it back to me. He wasn't giving it back. Of course, I didn't ask him to. It was so exciting that God would let me do that, and I would still have enough money to eat and do all the things that I had to do. I'm telling you, I found out very early in my life that you can serve and do what God would have you to do, and you can live better on the 90% with God's blessing, and you can on the 100% without it. It didn't take me long to figure that out. And then I wasn't tithing, but just a very short time, and they had a missions conference. I'd never heard of this. And the first night we went to the missions conference, I didn't get much out of it because we had a missionary by the name of Mosley, who was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. Never forget him. Big, tall guy. He'd preach a while, and he'd cry a while. But that wasn't what got me. The first night, he had such a giant Adam's apple. The first night when he had preached his tigo, it was very fascinating. I watched his tie all night. And my wife, we went home, she said, did you hear what he said? I said, not really. I wasn't paying much attention. The next night I went over there and he started telling me we had to give money above our tithe. And I'm telling you, I went home that night mad. Come on, how much money do you think you're going to get out of this poor guy? And here's what my wife's always straightened me out. I'm so thankful for her. She'd say, "Don't you think we ought to pray about this before we get mad?" I said, "All right, but then I'm getting mad right after we pray about it." I went back the next night. I went to the altar and said, "God, I don't understand this. I don't know what you want me to do. But if you want me to give, I will." That was a long time ago. I just keep giving and giving and giving and giving. I'm telling you, folks, God wants you to be faithful in doing what He tells you to do. Faithful. You see, when you totally depend on God, faithfulness is all you can do. There is no other way to do this but do it faithfully. Every time the church doors are open, you show up at church. And every time the offering plate passed by, you put tithes and offerings in it, because that's God's way. And when you do that, He'll bless you for it. But you got to be faithful. I had a family in my church for 32 years at Liberty. And once, sometimes twice a year, they'd be in my office wanting me to pay their rent. So what'd you do, preacher? I paid their rent. And then I'd pull out their giving record and I'd say, "You want me to tell you why you can't pay your rent?" "Zero." "Okay, preacher, we get it." They'd tithe about 2 weeks, sometimes three. And then 6-8 months later, they're back in my office. This went on for 32 years. You'd think somebody figured this out after that long, wouldn't you? They never did figure it out. They never got it. And I don't think yet today, one of them passed away and the other one's remarried and they still don't got it. I was hoping this guy, after his wife passed, would marry a wife that would say, "Tithe, you dummy." But apparently she didn't. Folks, let me tell you this. You got to be faithful at this. You don't just say, "Okay, I'm going to try this, preacher, and I'm going to tithe a week or two and see what happens." No. You make up your mind, "That's what God told me to do, and I'm doing it." And you be faithful to it, because God blesses faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful by whom you are called unto fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And if you're going to be faithful, He is faithful. So by being faithful, you can hang out with faithful Jesus. Amen. That's good stuff, y'all. That's awesome. I'm so glad God lets me be faithful. I'm faithful. You know, my wife kind of wants me to be faithful to her. I kind of promised I would. Long time ago, my wife and I was about to have our 49th anniversary. We got married really young. I'm only 60. No, maybe not. I made a promise to her all those years before. I've kept it all these years. And I've been faithful, and she's been faithful. I feel sorry for guys that have a wife they can't trust. I can go to the moon if I could, and she'd be faithful till I got back. Isn't that wonderful? Faithfulness is a big deal. Big deal. But faithfulness to God is even a bigger deal. And He said, "I want you to be faithful." So if you're going to hear this, "Well done," because you're giving to missionaries and helping them get down the road with the gospel, then you got to be faithful with it. You got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it until Jesus comes. Amen. I'm so thankful that God lets us just keep on doing it and keep on doing it and keep on doing it. Aren't you? Come on, say amen. I'm so glad. And God has said a lot about faithfulness in the Bible. I don't have time to go through all of it, but man, there were some faithful folks. You know the story of the three Hebrew children? Were they pretty faithful? Man, I love that story. I was at a fellowship meeting last week. One of the preachers got up and preached on it. And it just stirred my soul one more time. Just go ahead and go in the fire. He's already in there. In America, if it's not easy, people don't want to do it. And it's not always easy. I'm telling you, God has got me through. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I just don't know how you made it through that"? Have you ever had somebody say that? I've had people say that to me many, many times. And I say, because God's grace is always there. I had a granddaughter that died on the mission field. And my kids come home, and maybe God will give me liberty to tell you all about that. But when they went back, They was back down there about a year after all this. And their youngest began to have the same problem as the other one. So we told them, it's time to come home. I was their sending pastor and as long with their daddy, and I said, it's time to come home. We got to fix this. So they came home, not intending to stay necessarily, but when they found out what was wrong with the boy, they knew they wasn't going to be able to go back because the medicine was not going to work. So he was having seizures, and sometimes when he'd have seizures, he'd stop breathing. Now, if that happens in the middle of the night, you can figure out what happens. And so we took him to the hospital, and we took him to the doctor, and they're running all these tests, and they're figuring all this stuff out. And I'm going to try to make this a short story, but they finally decided that the only thing they could do is to do surgery on his brain because he had a birth defect in his brain, and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the doctor said it's in the part of his brain where his eyesight is, his walking, his hearing, everything like that is in that place. So if we do this surgery, he might never be able to walk, talk, see, any of that ever again. But if you don't do it, he's going to die. So what did you do, preacher? Well, the only thing we could do. So we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we went up to the hospital that morning. They was going to do it, and this is no encouragement at all. My wife's standing there, and the surgeon comes in to say, hey, do you have any questions, like they always do? And my wife said to him, well, we're praying for you. And he said, well, I appreciate the thought, but we don't need any help. That didn't give us much encouragement. But my wife, being pretty quick, she said, well, we're going to pray for you anyway. So we did. They did the surgery. They ended up having to take 25% of his brain out. So we were sitting in the surgery room that night, or in the recovery room, pretty late at night. Finally, he began to stir a little bit. And we're all around the bed, and we're all praying. You don't pray until you really need it, and then you pray. We begged God, and all of a sudden he woke up and he said, Mama, what'd they do to me? I'm telling you, y'all excuse this expression, we had a Pentecostal fit. We're shouting and hallelujahing all over the place. And I told my daughter, I said, hey, you got those cards in there. She had some colored cards. And she said, Corey, what color is this? Well, it's yellow, Mama. That means he can see. And we're talking to him so he can hear. And about that time, the doctor comes in and says, oh, I see he's awake. And he said, can you talk? And my grandson looked at him and said, well, of course I can talk. He said, well, let's find out. So he got him up to see if he could walk. And he was really wobbly, as you can imagine, somebody cutting on your head. He was supposed to be in the hospital for 3 to 6 weeks. They did the surgery on Thursday. On Sunday, the doctor come up to see him. He's in the playroom pulling his pole around, playing with all the stuff. And the doctor said, if you can do that, son, you need to go home. So they sent him home. I've had people say, well, what about now? Well, let's see. He was number one in his class last year. Our God's good, y'all. Say, how did you make it through that? God's grace. That's how you do everything, is through God's grace. But if you never had a problem, you'd never know how wonderful the grace of God is. You'd never understand, my God can do this. And I'm so thankful that He can. And I want you to understand, faithfulness is very important in your life for the Lord. In every area, but especially in giving. Now look at verse 7. He said, because that for His name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Number two, if we're going to do this correctly, you got to do it for Jesus' sake. Hello? You got to do it for Him. Not for what you can get out of it. Not for anybody else. Oh, I want everybody to know how much money I give. That's not right. I'm doing it for Jesus. I love Him. I'm telling you, if God's people would just love Jesus, all their problems would be solved. And I know sometimes people think, well, if you love God, there's some kind of mystical thing out there. No, it's just like loving your wife or loving your children. It's just bigger. It's an emotional attachment to God. I am attached to God with my heart and with my mind and with my soul. And I love Him. And I love Him. And I love Him. And so the Bible says, I want you to do it for His sake, to bring glory to Him. You see, we want our own glory, do we not? Well, I want to be a Sunday school teacher so everybody knows I'm a Sunday school teacher and I'm sacrificing for Jesus. Stay home. It won't help you any. I had a lady in our church in Louisville that was a Sunday school teacher when I got there 35 years ago. 35 years later, she's still in there teaching that class. I asked her one day, I said, Miss Walls, why do you do this? And she started tearing up. And she said, because I love Jesus and I love these kids. You get that? I don't know why God's people can't get that. I'm telling you, love makes you do weird stuff. Have you ever seen a teenager that says they're in love and the weird stuff they do? They do weird stuff. I'm telling you, as an adult, I do weird stuff because I love my wife. Come on. Any of you know what a garage sale is? I hate those stupid things. I'll tell my wife, if you're going to go to a garage sale, if they don't want that junk, what do I want it for? And she'd just say, well, come on, honey, go with me. You see, years ago when my kids were smaller, I was busy, my wife was busy, so we dedicated Saturday for each other. We'd get up on Saturday morning, and I said, I'm yours till 1 or 2 o'clock. I said, what do you want to do? Well, we're going to go eat breakfast, and then we're going to go to a garage sale. I hated that. We'd go up to this garage sale, and you know, if you've been to a garage sale, they'll have tables out there, and they'll be piled up with stuff about this big, you know, old clothes and junk. My wife goes over there going, oh, come on. And then she'll find something. Oh, delight. And she'd pick it up, and it was 50 cents, and she'd say, hey, would you take a quarter? I'd say, honey, just buy it. I got 50 cents. And every time she'd say, you don't get this, do you? I said, no, I do not. So what'd you do? Every Saturday, I'm out there going. You know why? Because I love my wife. And I want her to know I love her. I'm telling you, all the counseling I've done over the years, I bring a couple in my office, and they want me to counsel them, and I'll always start, after I pray with them, I start with this. I look right straight at the wife, and I said, do you believe your husband loves you? And every time they say, no! And the guy goes, you know, we men are just dumb. I don't know how your wife could not know you love her if you're doing it right. Come on, say amen. If you're doing it right, she's got to know you love her. You ask my wife that. I've got her trained. She'll say, I love her. She may not believe it, but she'll say it. I laugh at people all the time. My wife's been working for me now for almost 15 years. I've had people say, you want your wife to obey you? Pay her. She'll do it all the time. At the office. When we get home, all that's gone. Listen, you got to do this for Jesus' sake. If you do it for any other reason, you've missed the boat. There's not going to be any well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, God wants us to do it because we love Him and we want Him to get all the honor and all the glory. And we do it faithfully to the Lord, and we do it because we love Him, and to bring honor and glory to Him because we love Him. And I am so thankful to tell you tonight that we love the Lord. I think to myself, church, what are we doing this for? Why are we doing what we do? Now, I don't mean to be ugly, but I've been to Brazil once. I met probably 100 people while I was there in a church I was preaching at. And that's the only Brazilians I've ever known. How do you love them? Why should I care whether Brazilian people get saved or not? What is that to me? I've never been to India. And there's a bunch of folks there. I met a bunch of folks. Why should I care? What would make me care enough to sacrifice to give Him money so he can go tell the Indian people about Jesus. Why would I care about the people in Uganda? Why would I care about the people in Argentina? And I've met a bunch of those folks. But why would you care? I've had people say, well, I don't know these people. I tell you why you care. Because you love Jesus. And He loves them. You know who Jesus loves? People! Everywhere! We Americans thank God we got a corner on all the love of God. We do not. We do not. God loves them all. I'm telling you, all these knotheads that believe Jesus only died for a few, don't you buy into that nonsense. That's nonsense in the fifth degree. Whosoever will still means everybody. And I'm glad. Because I'm going to tell you, if there was some kind of other requirements, I'd have never made the cut. And most of you wouldn't either. I was raised in a poor home, so poor all the poor people called us poor. We were so poor and dumb we didn't even know we was poor. I never forget the first time somebody told me I was poor. I was so disappointed. See, none of that matters. All that matters is that I got saved. And I fell in love with Jesus. And I've been loving Him ever since. And you know what's really fun? Is when you and your wife love Him together. You talk about it. You pray together. My wife and I talk about missions and where we're going to do next while we're walking down the street holding hands. That's pretty much all we ever talk about. Is missions, the gospel. It was so funny. We were standing in the line one the other day in Bed Bath & Beyond. And I'm sorry to even admit that I go to that place. But my wife, I love her. And so I went. And we're standing in line to check out because that's the rules. Everywhere you go, you got to stand in line to get out. That's the rules, especially at Walmart. That's the rules. And we're standing in line and there's this young couple behind us. And the boy, the young man, he's a boy to me, he's looking at this cup. This cup that you put cold stuff in. It keeps it cold. I forgot what you call it. But anyway, he said, man, I need one of those. And he picked it up and it was $14.99 or something. I said, wow, that's a lot. I turned around and said, if you'll follow me back to the office, I'll give you one. He said, really? I said, yeah. I got a whole box of them. Well, I made a bunch of those for the church one time, and I had a whole box of them. Now, they had Liberty Baptist Church on them, but I had a whole box full of them. He said, okay. So he had his wife actually followed me and my wife back over to the missions office. I gave them both one, witnessed to them, talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, invited them to church, and they showed up. This is really not that hard. You just got to try. Amen. And you know why? Because I love the Lord. You know what I believe would be solve all the problems of America? Yeah, if we could just get us a new president. Now, that ain't going to help you at all. If we could get all the people in America to love the Lord, it would change everything. It would. I believe if we just get everybody in our churches to love the Lord, it would change everything. Because we got so many people that say it with their mouth and deny it with their actions. That's what happens with all these ladies that sit in my office and say, no, he doesn't love me. And I tell you why, because he doesn't act like he does. Amen. I can't tell you how funny it is, and I mean literally hilarious, to look at the face of the man after she says that. He just can't believe it. You know? I believe if you could look at Jesus' face tonight and you sitting there telling him how much you love him, you might be surprised at what he looks like too. Because he knows whether you really do or not. Let me ask you this. Do you love him enough to get involved with sending these missionaries around the world? If you want to hear well done, that's one way to make sure you happen. Because he told us twice in the Word of God, if you'll help people get the gospel out, well done. That's exciting. But you got to do it because you love him. And you got to do it faithfully. And if you do that, it's such a joy now. And one day, we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I can't hardly wait. See, I worried about this for a long time. I told a preacher one time this week, he said, you know, I've been worried about this my whole life. I want to make sure I got to do that. It's plain as day. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. And let me ask you this question. Do you love the Lord enough to get involved? I didn't ask you if other people think you do. Do you really love the Lord enough to do whatever's necessary to get the gospel out? I know when I was in Argentina, I was with one of the greatest missionaries that ever drew breath, in my opinion. His name was Don Espinosa. And all we did 24/7 is eat, breathe, and sleep. How are you going to win more people to Jesus? We won hundreds. Hundreds at a time. Because that's all we ever thought about. It's all we ever did. Can I tell you, if you love Him, it's got to show. It's got to show. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. And I pray that right now, You would share with everybody in this room how much they really love You. And if they're really showing that they love You. Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, we prove the sincerity of our love by what we give. Lord, I pray. Lord, would You just speak to us tonight? Lord, this is such an important subject that we just love Jesus. We just love Him with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our mind. We love Him. Speak to us tonight, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.